اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. 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 لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام، وأتوب إلى ماي. يا الله، I've come again, the sinful servant of yours is standing before you again, knocking on the door of your mercy, begging, coming here hopeful, hearing that it's the month of Dhul-Hijjah, a month of the Ahlul Bayt, the month of Ibrahim and Ismail, the month of Musa, the month of the Prophet, the month of Ghadir, the month of Wilaya, the month of Mubahala, the month of blessings, Barakat. It's Thursday night, approaching the day of Ghadir, Ya Allah. All these different reasons why perhaps even this unfortunate soul, this sinful person, the one who's broken his covenant with you so many times, asking for forgiveness again and again and again, but breaking it again and again and again, might feel there's still hope. Of course, there's always hope with you, Ya Allah. In fact, you're the one who's brought me here. It's your mercy that has brought me here to speak to you, to ask for forgiveness, to mention these great times. Everything is from you. And I am such an unthankful and ungrateful servant who doesn't see this from you, Ya Allah, forgive me. By the right of Ali, forgive me. By the right of the Prophet, forgive me. By the right of Fatima al-Zahra, forgive me. By the right of Imam al-Mujtaba, forgive me. Muharram is approaching. by the right of Hussein. Forgive me, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma inni as'aluka برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء وذل لها كل شيء وبجبروتك التي غلبت بها كل شيء وبعزتك التي لا يقوم لها شيء وبعظمتك التي ملأت كل شيء وبسلطانك الذي على كل شيء وبوجهك الباقي بعد فناء كل شيء وبأسمائك التي ملأت أركان كل شيء وبعلمك الذي أحاط بكل شيء وبنور وجهك الذي أضاء له كل شيء يا نور يا قدوس يا نور يا قدوس يا نور يا قدوس يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تهتك العصام اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النقم اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تغير النعم اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطيئة أخطأتها اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك وأسألك بجودك أن تدنيني من قربك وأن توزعني شكرك وأن تلهمني ذكرك اللهم إني أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع أن تسامحني وترحمني وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا وفي جميع الأحوال متواضعا اللهم وأسألك سؤال من اشتدت فاقته وأنزل بك عند الشدائد حاجته وعظم فيما عندك رغبته اللهم عظم سلطانك وعلى مكانك وخفي مكروك وظهر أمرك وغلب قهرك وجرت قدرتك ولا يمكن الفرار من حكومتك اللهم لا أجد لذنوبي غافرا ولا لقبائحي ساترا ولا لشيء من عملي القبيح بالحسن مبدلا غيرك. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك وبحمدك. ظلمت نفسي ظلمت نفسي ظلمت نفسي وتجرأت بجهلي وسكنت إلى قديم ذكرك لي ومنك علي. اللهم مولاي كم من قبيح سترته وكم من فادح من البلاء أقلته وكم من عثار وقيته وكم من مكروه دفعته وكم من ثناء جميل لست أهلا له نشرته. اللهم عظم بلائي وأفرط بي سوء حالي وقصرت بي أعمالي وقعدت بي أغلالي وحبسني عن نفعي بعد أملي وخدعتني الدنيا بغرورها ونفسي بجنايتها ومطالي. يا سيدي فأسألك بعزتك ألا يحجب عنك دعائي سوء عملي وفعالي ولا تفضحني بخفي ما اطلعت عليه من سري ولا تعاجلني بالعقوبة على ما عملته في خلواتي من سوء فعلي وإساءتي ودوام تفريطي وجهالتي وكثرة شهواتي وغفلتي. وكن اللهم بعزتك لي في كل الأحوال رؤوفا وعلي في جميع الأمور عطوفا. إلهي وربي من لي غيرك أسأله كشف ضري والنظر في أمري. إلهي ومولاي أجريت علي حكما اتبعت فيه هوى نفسي ولم أحترس فيه من تزيين عدوي فغرني بما أهوى وأسعده على ذلك القضاء فتجاوزت بما جرى علي من ذلك بعض حدودك وخالفت بعض أوامرك فلك الحمد علي في جميع ذلك ولا حجة لي فيما جرى علي فيه قضاءك وألزمني حكمك وبلاءك. وقد أتيتك يا إلهي بعد تقصيري وإسرافي على نفسي معتذرا نادما منكسرا مستقيلا مستغفرا منيبا مقرا مذعنا معترفا لا أجد مفرا مما كان مني ولا مفزعا أتوجه إليه في أمري غير قبولك عذري وإدخالك إياي في سعة رحمتك. اللهم فاقبل عذري وارحم شدة ضري وفكني من شد وثاقي. يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني ورقة جلدي ودقة عظمي. يا من بدأ خلقي وذكري وتربيتي وبري وتغذيتي هبني لابتداء كرمك وسالف برك بي يا إلهي وسيدي وربي. أتراك معذبي بنارك بعد توحيدك وبعد ما انطوى علي قلبي من معرفتك ولهج به لساني من ذكرك واعتقده ضميري من حبك وبعد صدق اعترافي ودعائي خاضعا لربوبيتك؟ هيهات أنت أكرم من أن تضيع من ربيته أو تبعد من أدنيته أو تشرد من آويته أو تسلم إلى البلاء من كفيته ورحمته. وليت شعري يا سيدي وإلهي ومولاي أتسلط النار على وجوه خرت لعظمتك ساجدة وعلى ألسن نطقت بتوحيدك صادقة وبشكرك مادحة وعلى قلوب اعترفت بإلهيتك محققة وعلى ضمائر حوت من العلم بك حتى صارت خاشعة وعلى جوانح سعت إلى أوطان تعبدك طائعة وأشارت باستغفارك مذعنة. ما هكذا الظن بك ولا أخبرنا بفضلك عنك يا كريم يا رب، وأنت تعلم ضعفي عن قليل من بلاء الدنيا وعقوباتها وما يجري فيها من المكاره على أهلها، على أن ذلك بلاء ومكروه قليل مكثوه يسير بقاؤه قصير مدته، فكيف احتمالي لبلاء الآخرة وجليل وقوع المكاره فيها وهو بلاء تطول مدته ويدوم مقامه ولا يخفف عن أهله، لأنه لا يكون إلا عن غضبك وانتقامك وسخطك، وهذا ما لا تقوم له السماوات والأرض. يا سيدي فكيف لي وأنا عبدك الضعيف الذليل الحقير المسكين المستكين؟ يا إلهي وربي وسيدي ومولاي، لأي الأمور إليك أشكو ولما منها أضج وأبكي؟ لأليم العذاب وشدته أم لطول البلاء ومدته؟ فلئن صيرتني للعقوبات مع أعدائك وجمعت بيني وبين أهل بلائك وفرقت بيني وبين أحبائك وأوليائك، فهبني يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي وربي صبرت على عذابك، فكيف أصبر على فراقك؟ وهبني يا إلهي صبرت على حر نارك، فكيف أصبر عن النظر إلى كرامتك؟ أم كيف أسكن في النار ورجائي عفوك؟ فبعزتك يا سيدي ومولاي أقسم صادقا، لئن تركتني ناطقا لأضجن إليك بين أهلها ضجيج الآملين ولأصرخن إليك صراخ المستصرخين ولأبكين عليك بكاء الفاقدين ولأنادينك أين كنت يا ولي المؤمنين يا غاية آمال العارفين يا غياث المستغيثين يا غياث المستغيثين يا غياث المستغيثين يا حبيب قلوب الصادقين ويا إله العالمين أفتراك سبحانك يا إلهي وبحمدك تسمع فيها صوت عبد مسلم سجن فيها بمخالفته وذاق طعم عذابها بمعصيته وحبس بين أطباقها بجرمه وجريرته وهو يضج إليك ضجيج مؤمل لرحمتك ويناديك بلسان أهل توحيدك ويتوسل إليك بربوبيتك يا مولاي فكيف يبقى في العذاب وهو يرجو ما سلف من حلمك أم كيف تؤلمه النار وهو يأمل فضلك ورحمتك أم كيف يحرقه لهيبها وأنت تسمع صوته وترى مكانه أم كيف يشتمل عليه زفيرها وأنت تعلم ضعفه أم كيف يتقلقل بين أطباقها وأنت تعلم صدقه أم كيف تزجره زبانيتها وهو يناديك يا رب أم كيف يرجو فضلك في عتقه منها فتتركه فيها هيهات ما ذلك الظن بك ولا المعروف من فضلك ولا مشبه لما عملت به الموحدين من برك وإحسانك فباليقين أقطع لولا ما حكمت به من تعذيب جاحديك وقضيت به من إخلاد معانديك لجعلت النار كلها بردا وسلاما وما كانت لأحد فيها مقرا ولا مقاما لكنك تقدست أسماؤك أقسمت أن تملأها من الكافرين من الجنة والناس أجمعين وأن تخلد فيها المعاندين وأنت جل ثناؤك قلت مبتدئا وتطولت بالإنعام متكرما أفمن كان مؤمنا كمن كان فاسقا لا يستوون إلهي وسيدي فأسألك بالقدرة التي قدرتها وبالقضية التي حتمتها وحكمتها وغلبت من عليه أجريتها أن تهب لي في هذه الليلة وفي هذه الساعة كل جرم أجرمته وكل ذنب أذنبته وكل قبيح أسررته وكل جهل عملته وكتمته أو أعلنته أخفيته أو أظهرته وكل سيئة أمرت بإثباتها الكرام الكاتبين الذين وكلتهم بحفظ ما يكون مني وجعلتهم شهودا علي مع جوارحي وكنت أنت الرقيب علي من ورائهم والشاهد لما خفي عنهم، وبرحمتك أخفيت، وبفضلك سترت، وأن توفر حظي من كل خير أنزلت، أو إحسان فضلت، أو بر نشرت، أو رزق بسطت، أو ذنب تغفر، أو خطأ تستر. يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي، يا من بيده ناصيتي، يا عليما بضري ومسكنتي، يا خبيرا بفقري وفاقتي. يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب. أسألك بحقك وقدسك وأعظم صفاتك وأسمائك أن تجعل أوقاتي من الليل والنهار بذكرك معمورة، وبخدمتك موصولة، وأعمالي عندك مقبولة، حتى تكون أعمالي وأورادي كلها وردا واحدا، وحالي في خدمتك سرمدا. يا سيدي يا من عليه معولي، يا من إليه شكوت أحوالي، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب. قو على خدمتك جوارحي، واشدد على العزيمة جوانحي، وهب لي الجد في خشيتك، والدوام في الاتصال بخدمتك، حتى أسرح إليك في ميادين السابقين، وأسرع إليك في البارزين، وأشتاق إلى قربك في المشتاقين، وأدنو منك دنو المخلصين، وأخافك مخافة الموقنين، وأجتمع في جوارك مع المؤمنين. اللهم ومن أرادني بسوء فأرده، ومن كادني فكده، واجعلني من أحسن عبيدك نصيبا عندك، وأقربهم منزلة منك، وأخصهم زلفة لديك، فإنه لا ينال ذلك إلا بفضلك، وجد لي بجودك، واعطف علي بمجدك، واحفظني برحمتك، واجعل لساني بذكرك لهجا، وقلبي بحبك متيما، ومن علي بحسن إجابتك، وأقلني عثرتي، واغفر زلتي، فإنك قضيت على عبادك بعبادتك وأمرتهم بدعائك وضمنت لهم الإجابة، فإليك يا ربي نصبت وجهي، وإليك يا ربي مددت يدي، فبعزتك استجب لي دعائي وبلغني مناي، ولا تقطع من فضلك رجائي، واكفني شر الجن والإنس من أعدائي، يا سريع الرضا يا سريع الرضا يا سريع الرضا. اغفر لمن لا يملك إلا الدعاء، فإنك فعال لما تشاء، يا من اسمه دواء وذكره شفاء وطاعته غنى، ارحم من رأس ماله الرجاء وسلاحه البكاء، يا سابغ النعم يا دافع النقام، يا نور المستوحشين في الظلام، يا عالما لا يعلم، صل على محمد وآل محمد، وافعل بنا ما أنت أهله، ولا تفعل بنا ما نحن أهله. وصلى الله على رسوله والأئمة الميامين من آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنام سيدنا ومولانا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. I express my congratulations and I congratulate all the brothers and sisters on the occasion of the birth of our 10th Imam, Imam al-Hadi, arwahuna lahu al-fida. One of the mazlumiyah of the Ahlul Bayt that we need to keep reminding ourselves is our lack of knowledge or little knowledge of the Imams. And I will make a comment that I hope is understood in the right way. Unfortunately, even when it comes to material regarding the some of the Imams, we find very little material to read, even in the Arabic language. The history of the Prophet, according to one of the prints that we have, the life of the Prophet has been put into 3 volumes of work, and about 500 pages each. Amir al-Mu'mineen, a volume or two, Imam al-Husayn, Imam al-Mujtaba. And then when it comes to Imams after Imam al-Husayn, two volumes for all of the Imams after Imam Zain al-Abidin, to be more accurate. And when it comes to Imam al-Hadi and Imam al-Jawad, there's very little material to read, unfortunately. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, I say this collectively, for our deficiencies in doing our work to try to get to know the Ahlul Bayt more. And this isn't to, as I said, it's we I'm referring to, because we need to look at ourselves collectively, critique ourselves collectively without keeping ourselves outside of that critique. And then what that will do is that we need to again collectively work on making up for those shortcomings. So a lot more work needs to be done on the history of some of the imams, more than other imams who've already, we have seen some works on those imams. Imam al-Hadi, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi, had the longest period of imama in the last, amongst the last few imams. Imam al-Askari had only 5 or so years. Imam al-Jawad didn't have too many years, from age 8 to 25. From the year 220, if I remember correctly, to 250. Four, again, if I remember roughly, these are not too exact, perhaps. These are the years that I remember, but they may be off 1 or 2 years. Is the imamah of Imam al-Hadi. So you have 30 plus years of the imamah of Imam al-Hadi during a period that is a difficult period for the leader of a movement that has as part of its ideology, the main component that differentiates between them and the masses and the mainstream movement, which is led by the establishment and by the Khulafa, is that they do not accept the authority, and they believe that the leader of this movement is the authority, the ruler. If a movement as such does not have any followers, somebody in some corner has a claim that we don't recognize a certain establishment, well, people in the White House would be laughing. Oh, you know, these people sitting over there in some village somewhere, or some in the boonies, or wherever, even in a city, in an apartment, they don't recognize the establishment. They can say it all they want, but even if they really mean that, it means nothing. You know, we're going to carry on doing whatever we're doing. A few hundred people here and there, and there's plenty of people that do not accept this establishment. As long as they don't really propose a threat, as long as that movement is not seen a threat, then leave it be, do whatever. You know, it doesn't matter what they do. Once it starts becoming an issue, then that's when they're going to have to deal with it. And that's why they've dealt with the imams one after the other. The time of Imam al-Hadi and Imam al-Askari is where the movement has grown so strong in identity, in numbers, in expression, in so many different ways, especially post Imam al-Ridha salamullah alayhi's time. It's come to a point where the imams are now officially under a unique condition. Imam al-Kadhim salamullah alayhi was leading the movement at a time where the movement was strong, the numbers were numerous, there were a large following, and the authorities did feel a threat from them, and so on and so forth, and they did try to distance the imam from the movement. But the way they were able to do it is by imprisoning Imam al-Kadhim. At the time of Imam al-Hadi, they can't imprison. Therefore, the other option that is available is to take him to the city that is the stronghold of the establishment with its military presence. And that's why the two last imams are called as Askariyain. This is the Mu'askar. This is the Askar of the authorities. So they take the imam into this type of condition. so that they try to keep a tap on the imam, try to restrict the interactions, try to identify some of the important figures in the movement, try to take out those they can. So it's very difficult for these 30 plus years that the imam is leading the movement. And there's a lot of unknowns in that process. There's a lot of areas that unfortunately we don't have too much material. We've got to look at what's available and try to analyze through analysis and putting things together, try to figure out what the big picture was and what the imam was doing in some more detail than what's available. In other words, we should treat that history as code. When you understand that the type of taqiyya Imam al-Hadi is dealing with is the type that he is dealing with, that a person has got to go and act like they're a merchant, they're selling cucumbers to get to the door of the imam to have a brief conversation and ask a couple of questions. And, you know, it tells you that there's a lot that you need to try to find by reading between the lines, whether it's in the conversations of the imams, people coming to the imam, people not coming to the imam, some of the facts that we do know about that period. One of the things that we have from Imam al-Hadi, arwahuna fida, that pretty much every time the topic comes up, I try to, and other times as well, but I want to take advantage of this time to again address the issue and add a little more to what we have previously discussed, or maybe have reminders. I'm not 100% sure that this material is going to be either entirely new or even partially new. I do know that it's necessary. Even if it's a repetition, it's necessary for us to hear this again. One of the things that we have from Imam al-Hadi, salamullahi alayhi, is trying to get people more familiar with the unseen. Try to get people more familiar with what people generally are less familiar with. People predominantly are more familiar with the material realm. They are familiar with what they see, what they touch, what's tangible. When it comes to the non-material, when it comes to the realms above, when it comes to aspects that are beyond this material realm, it's very difficult for people to process it in the right way. People generally do have heard and have this understanding that there is something beyond the material. But the way they deal with it, because they don't go to the proper guidance, it turns into superstition. It turns into these weird notions of aliens being out there, or weird notions of demons being right here, somewhere in certain forms that are hilarious. A whole list of things occurs when you don't go to the right sources and talk about things that are not tangible, since people do sense there is something, but they can't really put their finger on it, they can't really see it, then they're vulnerable to all these different shayateen that are waiting for an opportunity as such to be able to mislead them. Imam al-Hadi, out of the Ahlul Bayt, started revealing some of this more than his predecessors. Other imams also revealed that. At the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi, obviously we have received certain things that we know. Amir al-Mu'mineen knew these things, and it's obvious that he knew it because of the unseen. The instances have been relayed to us. When Amir al-Mu'mineen tells people around him, how many people will die, how many will live, and who some of the people on the side of the Khawarij who are fighting, with very explicit, very detailed descriptions of figures and individuals with features and characteristics, physical characteristics, that are so rare for Ali ibn Abi Talib to know someone with those qualities, with those features, with those physical features, is on the other side, will get killed. And who that, we have a list of these things. So that's obviously revealing that there is more to it. And he knows that. This is part of the, part of it, but it's not as much. It's not as much compared to what it could be and what Imam al-Hadi starts to mention a little more. And there are reasons for it. There's reasons for it. One of the reasons is that the way people are going to deal with this, if you go too quickly, people are going to deal with it in the wrong way. That's why there's a right time. Over decades, a century or two, in fact, in this case, over two centuries since, almost since the Prophet passed. So 23 years of the presence of the Prophet, plus an additional 200 years, is when Imam al-Hadi is coming to people. And then also after the experience they've had with a young boy having all of that knowledge, Imam al-Jawad, the father of Imam al-Hadi, Imam al-Hadi starts to reveal more of this, not only about himself, not only about the Ahlul Bayt. One of the things we have about and from Imam al-Hadi, salamullah alayhi, is Ziyarah Jami'a Kabira. Ziyarah Jami'a Kabira contains within it a description of who the Ahlul Bayt are that is the most profound collection in words that are a little more explicit and understandable by everyone that we have from the Ahlul Bayt or anywhere. There are references in the Qur'an. All of, we can claim, everything that is found in Ziyarah Jami'a Kabira is in the Qur'an. However, in the Qur'an, it's coded where it's hard to understand. Once you, it's been decoded, the decoded version of it is Ziyarah Jami'a Kabira. Otherwise, you can trace everything in Ziyarah Jami'a back to the Holy Qur'an. So to spell it out and to make this more clear, that's one thing we have, but it's not only that. It's not only that. The Imam starts working with people who are close to him, some of his representatives, some of people that he has brought close to him, training them, some directly and others sharing this information, this knowledge, and it getting around where it becomes an acceptable idea. To make an idea go around and for a large number of people to accept, it's not something that is going to be speaking to this one person or the other person, or a few people here or a few people there, just randomly. It's a process of speaking about it in different ways to different people, gradually making it and preparing the minds and the hearts of people where they are ready to accept this idea. Remember, the focus that we have here is getting the people to know beyond the ordinary, beyond the material, become more familiar and acquainted with it, not just randomly, in what's related to them, guidance, getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the purpose of it. Not describing some realms and some people get intrigued and they're really interested in knowing what's out there, how many, what do they look like, do angels have wings, all this nonsense and baloney that is only good for cartoons and making animation. That's what that is good for children basically. It doesn't matter if they have wings or they don't. If something is related to our guidance and us progressing towards Allah, that is what the Ahlul Bayt will be talking about. If anyone came and asked these stupid questions, the Ahlul Bayt gave him a response to just keep them busy and let them move on. The Ahlul Bayt are not interested in this. They're interested in guidance. It is important for people who are ready, who are at that level, to start being acquainted with what's beyond this. That there is something beyond and that you need to move towards it and how that is. Imam al-Hadi, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi, seems to be one of the imams that approaches this a little more. And there's different measures that are taken. And the reason why we are deducing this, the reason why this is being put forth, is a combination of a few facts. Again, we don't have too much detail. We don't have classes of the imam on this topic. We don't have that for me to say this is the reason why we say that. But when we put a few different elements together, a few different facts together, we come to this understanding. One of them is the training of the first deputy of the 12th imam. Imam al-Hadi brings him in at a young age, in his teens, his early teens, and he starts training him. Uthman ibn Sa'id al-Amri, the first representative and deputy of the 12th Imam, the one who leads the Ummah, during the first person who leads the Ummah upon the command of the Imam of our time, and his appointment is Uthman ibn Sa'id. He's taken as a pretty much a child, a young boy, in his early teens. He's taken in by Imam al-Hadi and he's trained. And where is he trained up to? What level is he trained to? Beyond our imagination. Some of the figures perhaps that we have heard of in the recent times, some of the great urafa and so on and so forth, that have some of these figures that we have heard of, perhaps, we don't know, I can't really say for sure with certainty, but the level you get the impression of that this man is on is very high. Perhaps higher than a lot of these figures. I don't want to name any particular individual, but a lot of the things that we've generally heard about some of these great urafa in terms of their spiritual developments. And this isn't to say that, you know, okay, well, he lived at the time of the Ma'sumin. No, most of the ashab of the Ma'sumin, especially the earlier imams, most of them didn't reach these levels. These are very high levels. And then because of that training it is, that pretty much this man is going to become the face of imam. That's what being the first deputy of the 12th imam means. Everything that people would have when they would want to come to the imam, now during the time of the minor occultation, they're going to come to this person. And he's not a puppet. Okay, he's not a puppet that's just, the imam is pulling strings and making his hands move or his lips move or him send a letter here. He's a person who's managing this himself under a certain type of guidance of the 12th imam and sometimes seeing the 12th imam, but he's managing it. He's managing it. This person is, the imam is. Imam al-Hadi does, this is one thing. Ziyara Jama'a Kabira is another thing. Some of the shows of, or showing and revealing to people the unseen or the ability to know things and so on and so forth, these are some other signs of this. This is where we're getting this idea. And also that the Imam did not train this person in a way where he did this and that was it. It is evident that he trained him and his son, they trained the next deputies. They got them to reach those levels. Some of the, and the idea is, we said this widespread, this making it acceptable by people, the very fact that the people came to a point where they were able to process and accept that Uthman ibn Sa'id is able to have knowledge of the unseen, do the things that Imam al-Askari used to. He's not the same person, he's not on the same level. But as far as the people go and their needs, the things that they're seeing of the Imam, there's things of the Imams that are not even imaginable to us, but the certain things that are seen by the Imams now, Uthman ibn Sa'id is revealing the same things. He's showing them, he's giving them things, telling them things about where things are and so on and so forth. Making this understandable and acceptable by people, that there can be people trained by the imams that have these qualities. It's not something that when he did this, people started saying, oh, this guy's a magician, or he's a fraud and he's acting like this, similar to some of the figures who are frauds and who are acting like and putting up a show today, claiming one day that they're the representative of the 12th Imam, next day claiming that they are the 12th Imam, and the following day claiming that they're God or something. And we've had many examples throughout these centuries of occultation. Imam al-Hadi has worked on this idea. I don't want to speak any more of history. I want to take this point and use this as something that's important for us, brothers and sisters. We've got to know that guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for mankind is not to keep mankind on a material level, is not to keep mankind's eyes and ears shut to the unseen until their death, and that's when it opens up. No, the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for mankind is such that strong believers, through the guidance of prophets and our prophet and our imams, are supposed to ascend. Their eyes are supposed to open up to the unseen. Their ears are supposed to hear the unheard by material ears. Okay. And they're supposed to ascend beyond that. We are not meant for this. We're not cattle to graze on this earth and then we die, then we're resurrected, and then we start again grazing on whatever is provided, food and fruits and all the streams, the way an animal does. Well, that's not what we're made for. Let's wake up. Let's realize this. The one thing that first and foremost needs to wake up in us, besides looking for how to get there, is that this is there and we need to want it. Once the want and the desire is strong and the request to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become more real and genuine and we insist on it and we don't give up on asking, we want it, then we will follow up with it more, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open those doors. He will show us the path. If we're going to be busy grazing in the free range that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided, and there's plenty, believe me, there's plenty. If we're going to be keeping ourselves busy with this, and we're happy with that, there's no want. Or if something, we hear something, oh, wow, interesting, we sleep. Next morning we wake up, our Fajr prayer is missed, and you know, get on with business as usual, and so on and so forth. This type of want is never going to materialize. It's got to be strong. One of the things Ayatollah Behjat used to do is this. He used to talk about experiences of ulama, whether he was certain that they are true or not. He wasn't necessarily certain that some of those accounts are 100% true. The reason why, it seems my understanding, because sometimes he would state, he said, I'm not sure of this. Well, if you're not sure of it, then why are you saying it? My understanding is his objective is to get people to realize, wake up, you know, lift your head from the grass, there's other things. Don't keep worrying about your bills. God's going to take care of that. Don't keep worrying about food and accommodations. The one who provided that for you before you even know how to clean yourself is going to provide that for you. There's more to it. Wake up to that. Realize it. Want it seriously. Make that the goal of your life. This is very important, brothers and sisters. Some people have lowered Islam to just simply being, I don't want to give any physical descriptions because it might seem sectarian. It's not about that. Whatever sect in Islam we are, Islam is just something that has to do with here and just doing some basic stuff, just instead of everybody else, I don't know, wipes themselves when they go to the bathroom, we're supposed to wash ourselves. That's the difference between Islam and non-Islam. That's not the difference between Islam and non-Islam. That's not the objective of it. Don't lower Islam and divine teachings to these low levels. These guidelines are for us to ascend if we're not following them properly. Or maybe we don't even have them right. Maybe We haven't followed up with that. We just took whatever anyone said and said, oh, you do wudu this way? Okay, we do wudu with it. Did the imam say that? Somebody, some random person. I'm not talking about following the maraja. This shouldn't be misunderstood. We shouldn't lower that. There's a lot more to it. There's a lot more to it. And we all can. Let's not have the day of judgment to be, or resurrection, a day that we rise, and then there is judgment. We'll see where people are. For it to be yawmul hasra for us, the day of regret. Like, oh my God, look, this is where I could have been. And this is where I am. All these opportunities, all this time. Allah gave me 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 80 years, whatever. And this is where I am. Inshallah, we wake up to that, brothers and sisters. And one last point on that. The only path is the Ahlul Bayt. Don't get distracted with anything other than the path of the Ahlul Bayt. And really go to the Ahlul Bayt. How? First and foremost, by speaking to them. Saying, Ya Imam Al-Hadi, Ya Sahib Al-Zaman, all the Imams, each of the Imams. I don't know and you know. I don't see you. I know you hear me. You see me. You know my condition. Be genuine. Be sincere. I want you to guide me. I don't know. I don't even know where to go to. The 12th Imam, I can't see him. And others, I can't tell. I try. I go to this person. One day I listen to this person. After a while I realize, oh, this person's problematic. Then I start listening to this person. After some time I realize, oh, this guy's problematic. I start listening to this other person. I don't know. I don't know where to go. I don't know who to. And everybody has a notion of spirituality. Everybody claims to know. I don't know what your path is. I want you to take my hand. Be sincere. Be genuine. Know that will work. Okay. And then besides that, the path, this may be one of those claims, but I can only share what my understanding is. May Allah bless Ayatollah Khushbakh. May Allah bless him. May Allah bless him. May Allah bless him. He repeated and repeated and repeated. And the more we looked at the Quran, this is not mine. You go check yourself. He said, check anyone's word with the Quran and Hadith. Don't take it. Some people claim like, oh, we know this, we know that. He never claimed. He says, from Quran and Hadith, this is the verse that you can go and check and read yourself. Read other verses too. See if I'm wrong or whatever. You check everything with Quran and Hadith. He said, the path is only taqwa. Wajib and haram. Do this. Stick to the course. Keep going. Want Allah to give you more. Know that there's more than that. But know that Allah has got the key and He's told you the first step of turning that key is taqwa, the wajib and haram that your marja has given. Whatever marja you have identified, follow their fatwa. That's your wajib and haram. If somebody else has a different marja, that's their wajib and haram. You follow that wajib and haram. Implement it. Wallah, it will give results. Wallah, it will give results. I don't know how to emphasize this. I really don't know how to make this any more clear. How much time is it going to take? This will give the results. The verses of the Quran, the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt, this is, do this. Without this, you can never get anywhere. If you do this and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, next steps will be given to you. Allah has ways of giving those to you. The whole idea is speaking of the unseen. The whole idea is things are beyond this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable. Nothing outside of taqwa is going to work. If you do taqwa, Allah is the one that knows who knows this, and He knows how to bring that person and how that person will speak to you to get that message across to you for you to be able to get higher and get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do this and don't leave it. Don't think there's any other path. Don't think there's any shortcut. Don't think that there's something else written there that if I do that, these things don't matter. That's important. No, these are important. Your wajib and haram in your personal life, in your relationship with Allah, in your social political life, in your family life. This is what's going to get you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the path. This is Sirat al-Mustaqim. of the Quran. وَأَنِ اعْبُدُونِي عِبَادَةً. Well, listening to what he has said. Wajib and haram is what he has said. You have to do this and you have to avoid that. Well, as long as I'm not complying with that, then he's the one that's going to. هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَلِّي عَلَيْكُمْ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. He's the one that's going to elevate you. Not some others. He says, I need you to do this. I want you to do this for sure, definitely. And I want you to make sure you don't do the other. So these are not important. There's something else. There's dhikr to do. There's that surah to read. There's, I don't know, something else to do. These a'mal to do on these days, and that's going to get you. These a'mal are going to do nothing. Absolutely nothing. If I'm not doing wajibat and I'm not staying away from haram. If I am staying away from wajib and haram, every bit of it will count. Anything they have said is recommended, I do it once in a lifetime, that will count. If I don't care about wajib and haram, I'm not doing wajib and haram, no other action is going to be accepted. This is also from the Quran. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleases the heart of Imam al-Hadi from us. This great Imam that we owe so much and we are so deficient, we don't even know all of what we owe him. And even superficially what he has done for us. Beyond that is beyond our imagination. They are the connection between the seen and the unseen of the world. They are beyond our imagination. Even the part that was visible and we could have known, there's very little that we know. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. And we ask the Imam al-Hadi, Arwahuna Fida, to forgive our shortcomings and to guide us to understand him better, what he did. And we ask him and we beg and we plead to him to take our hands and to help us ascend. You are, Ya Aba al-Hasan, Ya Ali ibn Muhammad, Ayyuha al-Hadil. We ask you, you're the guide, you are the connection between the heavens and the earth. If you ask, if you guide, if you forgive, on your ziyarah you teach us that between me and Allah, in بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ اللَّهُ ذُنُوبًا لَا يَأْتِي عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا رِضَاكُمْ. If you're pleased with us, if you forgive us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. We ask you and we beg that you take our hands, you take our family members' hands, our community here, people, believers. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, by the right of Imam al-Hadi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah to help us become his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping his cause, especially our ulama, our marajin, more so our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins. We ask him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have left this world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us and all believers worldwide our hajat, our needs, our requests, to relieve us from hardships, difficulties, this pandemic. We ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa Alih, rahimallah, man qara al-fatiha ma'as salawat.